Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 458, Tangential, recorded live on January 15th, 2015. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we are back for another episode of wonderful Halo goodness. It is week two of our 2015 podcast. We're rocking it hard, or at least trying to, starting off. And we got some cool stuff coming up here, not too far out. We have something in the works for you guys that will actually be giving away some cool swag and some Halo goodies that we're really excited to talk about. And hopefully we'll have some guests on the show here pretty soon as well. That's some exciting stuff coming down the pipeline. But first, I kind of want to bring something up that's near and dear to both... Well, I don't know how about dear, but for those who don't know, Aaron Marino, who was the community manager for Certain Affinity, has left. Friday was her last day over at Certain Affinity, and I got to meet her at RTX. And Biowolf, I believe you got to meet her as well.
Yeah, I got to meet her.
And we just want to say good luck to you, Aaron. Wherever your career leads you, may the path be wonderful. And you are always a Spartan in our books. So Godspeed on wherever you end up. It's been a pleasure to be working with you with Certain Affinity. And we wish you the best on your future endeavors. So, there is a new community manager out there. His name is Mike. I forget what his last name is. So, if you're listening to this, Mike, sorry. I'll get there at one point. But we're going to be reaching out to him to get the infamous Certain Affinity interview that we have been teasing for like the last 2 months. And this just hasn't been able to be done because of scheduling stuff on Certain Affinity side, which is understandable, especially now that they're working on Relic. So hopefully we'll be able to get them on during this development process. That would actually be pretty cool, since we're not exactly sure when that's coming out, but actually being able to get some people on during the development process, I think, would be pretty interesting. So hopefully we'll be able to get those guys on for you here not in the too distant future. And we have some other pretty cool podcasts lined up. I think next week, we're going to try to do a Halo 5 deep dive podcast, since this is the last week of the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta. If you guys don't know, the beta ends on January 19th, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be 11:59 Pacific Standard Time. There isn't a set time that they've announced when it's going to be over, but I have a feeling it's going to be around that time, or maybe like 2 a.m. the next day. Pacific time, something like that. So the days are numbered. You have about 4 days, depending on when you're listening to this, to get the rest of your games in for the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta. But that also means that you only have 4 more days to get in the requirements for the beta specific armor unlocks. So those unlocks include the Mark 6 armors, the Helios Skrill armor, and then what's the other one that's the Nightfall requirement?
I just unlocked it the other day. I don't remember.
Okay, I'll pull it up here. I don't remember them all off the top of my head, but there were the 4 armor sets, and we actually posted about this a little while ago, that you will be able to get in the beta while the beta is out. And thanks to one of our old time Podtacular people, Laird, he actually informed us that all the stuff that you can unlock in the beta is only unlockable in the beta. So that means that for the requirements that you have to have, so one of them is, and the very last one is to watch all of Nightfall. That's one of them. Another one is to complete all the campaign missions on Legendary. That's another one.
Yeah, that's for the...
And that's for, actually...
Helios Skrill, isn't it? That's the one that I'm aiming for to get.
Yeah, but the other two, the one for the Mark 6s, if you go for the Legendary achievement, then those unlock with it, essentially, because the requirements for those are, one, you have to play on Kairos Station, and then the other one is you just play one level of the campaign. So those are the armors are Mark 6 Guard, the Helios Skrill, which is the elite inspired one, and the other one is Nightfall. It looks like a ODST one.
Yeah. The Helios Skrill, I've seen a couple people play with it, and it's like, I want
it's weird.
I want it so bad, though.
Really?
I want it. It looks.
You're one of the only people I think I've heard say that they want the Helios Skrill skull. Or not skull, no, the armor.
It reminds me of like the green, like a goblin helmet or something. Like, it's really weird. Like, I like the way it looks. It's weird looking. A lot of people don't like it because of how it looks. I feel, though, that it's a lot of people that didn't like the helmets in Halo 4. I did. So I'm not an oddball. I like the weird things in Halo. But no, I mean, I think they could have picked a better helmet look, like a better looking helmet. Maybe like Deadeye from Halo 4 or something that we haven't seen yet that wasn't that, like for the red legendary achievements, because that's a big task to get an armor from.
Right, and it's something that we've been working on over the past 3 weeks. We probably would have had this done the first month in the Master Chief Collection if there weren't all these issues.
Yeah.
But we actually, or at least Godzilla and I, finished the campaign last night, thanks to Laird, who stepped up when Bios Internet decided to crap out and the gerbils stopped running. No, there was actually, we were talking before the podcast, and there was a legitimate reason why his connection was probably being iffy. But funny thing is, you finally figured out how to get your NAT open.
Yeah, with the weirdest way ever.
So you want to elaborate on that just a little bit?
All right. So basically what happened was I opened up all the ports. Like I port forward like all my router. Like I got a new router. I did all these things to, you know, open up the ports on my, or just open up my NAT on the Xbox, and it just wasn't doing it. Like, it just would not open for anything. And then one of my friends suggested the most oddball move I've ever seen. What he said was, you test your multiplayer, and then when the test is done, hit the bumpers and the triggers at the exact same time, and it'll test it. What it does is it tests the NAT network, but what it does is it opens up, if for some reason it's strict, it'll open up a particular port and it'll open up that NAT, which anytime I sit there and go on to Xbox, I have to do that. And it works all the time, every time. So it's just weird. Like, I'll never understand how that works, ever.
Right. It would be nice to actually get someone from Xbox in here to explain how that exactly works. But from what I understand, for anyone who doesn't know, NAT stands for Network Address Translation, and this is going to go into a little nerdy bit. All you techies out there will probably know what this is. For those that don't, NAT basically translates addresses that propagate from the internet, and your router, what it'll do is when it sees a packet coming in, it knows where the packet is going because of what sessions you have open, and it's able to track that. So it'll translate that address into a local address that'll go to your computer. Now, that translation takes up a little bit of space in the packet. So whenever that happens, most of the time it's set to open on most routers, but there are cases where because of certain network layouts and because of maybe a network architecture, a NAT can be moderate or strict. And most cases, NAT should be open in any situation, but there are little quirks to your network that could cause it to be either moderate or strict. And with how the Xbox One works, it seems to get a little confused sometimes. So I'm guessing there's something in whenever you press those bumpers and triggers that it tries to push out or register a port. Like if you have P2P, or no, not P2P, UPnP, which is Universal Plug and Play, then it'll actually open up a different port. It's probably a little more standardized port than the, what is it, the 3070 something? It's 3072, I think, for the Xbox. So it probably does some port magic there. But anyways, that's basic overview of NAT, if I didn't really mess it up too much. So we got that working with Bio, and I think most of the rest of us got it working too, because mine's been swapping back and forth between moderate and open. And actually, I just plugged my Xbox in via wired, and then I did the same thing that you did, Bio, and what do you know? It opened it up.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I tried telling that to people, and they're like, that doesn't affect anything. It's not going to do anything. I was like, all right, it shouldn't, but it does.
It really shouldn't. I'm guessing it's because Xbox is using a secondary port instead of the primary one. So what Xbox usually does is that if it cannot reach the Xbox services off of 3072, which I believe is the standard port for the Xbox, it'll backbone off of an HTTP port, which in the Xbox's case is port 88.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I'm guessing. I mean, I could totally be pulling that out of my butt because I have no idea how it works. That's just a random guess. I'll have to scour the internet or ask some Xbox people how that works, but it works.
It's just weird that all these people have like NAT issues with the Xbox One. Like, I have a lot of friends that have open NATs on 360 and they can connect fine. You know, everybody can get into a game and you have no problems whatsoever. And then when Xbox One came along, like, there's a lot of NAT issues I've noticed. Like, and it's not just like I've had NAT issues ever since I got Xbox One. You know, me and you were able to connect fine on 360. Me and you can never connect on Xbox
One.
It was just weird. But we need to actually try if me and you can connect on Xbox
right directly.
Now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and we found out from our Halo 4 running this week on Legendary is that Godzilla is our neutral host, essentially, because he's the most central out of all of us.
That and he's... Yeah, every time we can do any campaign runs, he's definitely going to be our guy.
Right.
Which is weird though, because I don't know, like every time I sit there and played with Haas, I never had problems like getting kicked or whatever. It's just odd.
Well, the funny thing was, and we're on a tangent, guys, sorry, but you had massive problems connecting to Haas on 360.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a problem with him now.
And now it's the other way around. Well,
yeah.
In a sense, it's kind of the other way around, because now you and I had problems connecting on the Xbox One, and you and Haas can connect all day long.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. It's Xbox.
It's Xbox One is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's some interesting news. Hopefully that will lead to some more game nights from us, and we've actually been toying with the idea of doing staff nights, so maybe something every month we get on and play a game of some kind. And
Peggle.
There was a spurt there where we were playing Peggle. And did we ever get Godzilla into that? I think he bought it. I don't think we've actually played with him yet.
He bought it, and ever since the words that were said on Twitter, I don't think he ever wants to get into Peggle. very stressful game, and I figured like
it's not stressful. It's really not stressful. It's actually a very good game.
But it's funny, and the reactions that people get when you have a jump in score like I always get, it's hilarious. Like it's I thought it was good at sticking people. Peggle used to be like a championship thing or something.
It's a competition now. It's one of those things where we're probably going to be playing it every once in a while. It's like, okay, time to launch Peggle. Let's get going. But there's lots of games that we can do that with. Full House Poker on the 360 would actually be a pretty good one to do that with. Trials might be an interesting one to do that with.
Trials is fun.
Worms is a lot of fun. We should definitely try Worms.
I'm not a Worms guy. I've played it. I played it on the 360. I'm not too into it. I'll play it, but it's a weird game. Like it's a different type of game.
It's fun.
There's also Titanfall.
There is that. Although I don't know if all of us have Titanfall, to be honest.
I don't think all of us do.
You might have it, but I don't know. I'm not sure if...
I thought Haas did.
Godzilla does. I don't think Godzilla has it. I'm not sure. Anyways. But yeah, there's lots of games that we can play. And it'll probably end up being something that every month or so we'll do a staff stream where the four of us just play a game. And we'll be able to just kind of be in there hanging out, and then we'll be able to chat with you guys in the stream. That'd actually be pretty cool. So expect some of those coming up. If you have game suggestions, of course, drop them in the forums, podtacular.com/forums. There's actually, have you seen the Hasbro Game Center thing, Bio?
No. What's that?
So it was a new game hub that Hasbro put out. The hub itself is free, but there's games in there like Scrabble is in there. I think Boggle was in there, something like that. They're not out yet, but they're in development. They're going to come out with it eventually. That would be some pretty interesting stuff to do as well. So there's lots of options for us to do the kind of staff streams.
Need for Speed is not a game I'll be playing.
Do they have a Need for Speed on the Xbox One?
Yeah, Need for Speed Most Wanted? Am I thinking it right? I think it's Need for Speed Most Wanted. Or
Most Wanted came out a long time ago, unless they have a new Most Wanted.
I think they have a new one. What? Someone knows.
Stream probably knows. Let us know, yeah. Stream. I know there's Forza.
Forza is fun. They actually just announced Forza 6, which is interesting.
Need for Speed Rivals. Thank you, Pins.
Rivals, that's what it was.
That's okay. It. I'm not a Forza person. I'm not a driving gamer person like that. I like Need for Speed where it has that kind of competitive edge. And it's a little more forgiving. I'm like the old style Need for Speed, like Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. yep. And then one game that I really liked that really didn't catch much ground was Blur. No, not what was it called? Blur? Yeah.
I have no idea.
No, wait. What is that game called? It was a game. It was a racing game by Bizarre Creations. I'm gonna look this up. I think it was called Blur.
I think my favorite racing game that I've played was probably Burnout.
Yeah,
Burnout was probably one of my favorite.
Burnout's actually a lot of fun. Yeah, okay, it is Blur. Blur was basically, in my opinion, took Need for Speed and Mario Kart and merged them together, and it was awesome. I really love that game. It was on the 360. If anyone out there that, oh my gosh, cranberries. If anyone out there has Blur and wants to play, let me know, because I will hop on that thing in an instant. That game is so much fun. You could probably pick it up for like $5-$10 now, like GameStop or something. But it is a lot of fun. It's basically Need for Speed and Mario Kart combined.
Yeah. The Crew came out too, which is a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun with The Crew.
Yeah.
But we're kind of going off another tangent.
Yeah. So check back in probably. We'll probably do something next month, because this month was basically us trying to finish Halo Legendary and us having issues with the stream all the time. But I will be updating my computer rig here within the next couple of weeks. So I actually have a machine powerful enough to put out some high def 60 frame per second goodness from Xbox One through XSplit, which will be very nice. I'm looking forward to it. And be able to do a little more editing and a little more powerful stuff in terms of possibly getting videos out and being able to just crank stuff out for the YouTube channel, which we still have stuff planned for. It's just a matter of trying to get time to do it all. But that should be coming out in, or higher streams, of course, will be coming out in a couple of months after I get my new rig up and going. And hopefully we'll be streaming fairly often. It's a matter of whether or not we can get the Master Chief Collection fix, which we're supposed to get another content update here in a couple of days. It's supposed to be, they said, sometime this week. And a content update. Did one come out today? I haven't launched Master Chief Collection today.
I thought it was coming out this weekend.
Okay. So this weekend, there's supposed to be another content update that fixes general UI and matchmaking stability issues. We don't have any patch notes yet. So hopefully those will be out. They usually come out the day before the patch goes live. So we're looking at sometime this weekend, hopefully. But in other news related to the Master Chief Collection, the Halo 4 and the Team Hardcore playlist have been updated into the playlist hopper. So if you guys were waiting for those playlists, they are now available. You can go in and play them right now.
I will say this much. Going from Halo 4 from the 360 to the 1, it looks incredible. Like, it really does. Like, I completely forgot. Like, I knew that it looked good on the 360, but when we were playing it last night, and then we were going through all this stuff, it looks really good in 60 frames per second. Like, it really does.
There's still some stuff. You're talking about Halo 4, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There's still some stuff just at the beginning, and we made the comment on this before, but the explosion of the Covenant Cruiser. How it falls apart is so unrealistic, and that's just made more like one of the things about when you upgrade graphics on something, the imperfections stick out a lot more. Like, things look a lot better, but the imperfections also just stick out like a sore thumb. And that was one of those first things I'm like, huh, that's not realistic at all.
Also, you just Spartan kick the, what is it called? The launcher? The, like, what was it though?
That was, I think, like the ignition, some part of the firing mechanism for the missile. But if you guys remember the very, near the very beginning of the Halo 4 campaign, whenever you do launch the missile that goes and kills the Covenant carrier or cruiser, whichever class it is, the explosion on it and the way that the ship falls apart is so unrealistic. And then the parts fly apart in a manner that doesn't make any sense either.
Yeah, it was different. The first time I seen it, I'm like, that, like, I honestly thought it was a glitch or something at first. Like, the first time I popped it in, I started playing through the game, I said, was that supposed to explode? Like, what's going on? Like, that, after playing it a couple times, like, apparently that's just something that's broken. It's just supposed to be there, and it's just not well done.
But that was one of those things that just, it stuck out to me. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. But beside that, there's the content update. There's supposed to be, I mean, they're still ongoing with the patches and whatnot, so we'll see how that comes out over the next couple of weeks. I mean, we're still holding on to the game finally being patched in a manner where everyone can get in, not have any issues, all the custom lobbies work, all the parties work, matchmaking doesn't get split up and all that stuff, which, I mean, every update, it seems to be getting better. The overall, I guess, for lack of a better word, the overall health of the player base on the Master Chief Collection and the stability of the game gets better with every update. But we're all just kind of waiting for that one moment where it's like, okay, this works as expected.
Yeah, I mean, it just, there's a lot of people saying that the things are getting better, and there's a lot of people out there saying that it still is the same. Like, I don't understand how it's still the same. Like, it's, for me, it's not. Like, I can bump into it or jump into a game in a matter of seconds now. Like, the only problems that I'm having with as of right this second is custom game lobbies, file share, what they really need to do something with, and just campaign lobbies, like, beside constantly getting booted. Also, the game crashes a lot, which is kind of annoying.
Well, yeah, that's one of those things that is going to be a while, I think, before that actually gets, like, fully fixed. But I would try to take a guess at when it would get fixed, but I just think there's no point in really making a guess at it.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot on their plate right now. You know, just between getting, they're just trying to get the experience completely done. I mean, another thing that's really glitchy is just the interface itself. Like, you could sit there and jump in, and then it's saying that people are with you that aren't with you. You know, you're not even in there. And then, like, the weirdest glitch I've had so far is that the animation was there for, you know, going into Halo 5 and all that stuff, but you weren't able to pick what you wanted to play. Like, the missions weren't popping up, or find a game or anything wasn't popping up. So, like, there's a couple issues, like, they really need to fix, which they're to the nail of getting everything done.
Yeah. And some other news. This is somewhat of an interesting situation that I guess the Halo community is in, but Frank put out a tweet a couple of days ago, basically saying that there are people with valuable feedback, but that he's having to block some people that just go about it with a negative attitude. And I think that just reinforces the fact that if you're going to give some feedback about the experiences that you're getting with the Master Chief Collection or Halo 5, is that you need to do it in a way that's constructive and that makes it seem like you actually care about the game, not just voicing off something sucks because you think it sucks. So yeah.
There's a fine line between being ignorant and actually being in there and saying truthful things. Like, you know, they even say, you know, the negative feedback that we are getting, we're taking it and we're making it, you know, we're putting it through our system of people. You know, they're not just going to say, oh, we are just taking positive and sticking with it. It's not the case. Just because you're going to voice up your opinion out there, you know, that's great. You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But, you know, like you were saying, be constructive with it and be reasonable. Don't be out to bash anybody. You know, that's not really going to get anywhere. As you can see, Frank is just blocking people. So,
right. And it just it doesn't look like Frank is the only person either. It looks from some other tweets that we've seen, it looks like some other of the higher up execs at 343 have been blocking people too. So just to reiterate the fact, guys, just there is a, for lack of a better word, there is a right way to get feedback and a wrong way to get feedback. You can't dislike something and still give constructive criticism without sounding like an ass. There is a lot of people out there that is a vocal minority of the Halo side or in the Halo community that like to bash 343 for all the stuff that's happened with the Master Chief Collection and Halo 5. And they're right to be frustrated. They're right to be angry at it. But it doesn't mean that you have to be immature and outlash against 343. There are certain parts that they're not in control of when it comes to balance and stability of matchmaking issues, of timelines possibly for them, because we don't honestly know for a fact whether 343 was the one that pulled the trigger on the release day and didn't decide to push it back, or Microsoft maybe is the one that said, no, you need to put this out now. I mean, there's lots of things that could have gone on with the release behind the Master Chief Collection and some of the stuff that's going on right now in matchmaking and with the game that none of us in the community, well, very few of us in the community have the knowledge of what's going on behind the scenes to make an accurate determination of what's actually going on and to point blame to specific people or specific groups about what's happening. It's just, it's not there. You sit back and you think about it logically, and there is just no way you can, in your right mind, just point blame constantly at any one person or any one company. Yeah, 343 is doing a lot of things with how the game is coming out where people aren't very appreciative of it because they're not giving the feedback that people want to hear. They're not, people are very frustrated with the game's outcome and all that stuff. But you just have to sit back and realize that something like this has not been done before. And there are things that we don't know as a community, and there are things that are probably out of control at 343 or out of 343's control that we know nothing about. So if you have something to say about the Master Chief Collection or Halo 5 that you don't like, then just upfront say you don't like it because of XYZ. If you do that with a level head and a level attitude, then they're going to listen to you. They value community feedback. They really do. I know a lot of the people on the team that work on the development side of Halo. I've been to events. I've been to the conventions. I was at Halo Fest. And just talking with them, they value feedback. They really do.
Yeah, I mean, I came across the case over a couple days ago where I was talking to an individual and they just taking in feedback, you know. Granted, the way I got into it was a little dumb, but they're listening. They really are. Especially they're looking for constructive criticism without lashing out at something. You know, they understand. Right. They're human. You know, they understand that things are going to happen and people are going to get pissed off. But this is still how long has this been going on for now? Like months? People are still just going off, bad mouthing everything, and it's just it's ridiculous. And honestly, the best way you can go is just say, you know, yeah, you know what, this sucks that this happened. You know, it sucks that certain things are not right with this particular game. You know, it, like you said before, this is the first time we've had four individual games into one package. Like, that's never been done before. And especially having every map, every campaign, you have Spartan Ops, you have all these things crammed into a disc. You know, it's just, you know, it's you're bound to run into something. And it's not just 343 that's having problems. I mean, look at what we had, the problems with Battlefield. We had problems with, like, a whole bunch of titles. You know, when Grand Theft Auto came out, like, when it first came out, you know, people weren't able even to pop online for a 24-hour period. They were stuck at a menu screen. So, like, it's not just 343. You know, there's other things out there. But since, you know, 343 kind of took the reins and things kind of went south with Halo 4, people are going to immediately go after them just for the sake of doing it.
Which is unfortunate. And it sucks to see that 343 has to come out and respond in such a way where they're having to block people on Twitter because of the negative means by which people are giving feedback.
It's ridiculous.
And Frank even said in his tweet, there is valuable feedback coming from people, but he can't stand how negative people are being about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, people, just if you're going to say something, say it in such a manner that is constructive and critical, but not overbearing, abusing, pointing blame to anything, to any or anyone, that kind of stuff. Just be level-headed, be specific about what it is you don't like. Just don't say, I don't like this. Give a reason for it. And if you are one of those people that maybe have a good idea, then say, I don't think this works for this reason. Maybe think about implementing it in this such a way. That's constructive feedback. Saying you don't like something and just leaving it at that is not constructive.
The best way you can honestly do it, like just giving out, I mean, you're tweeting at them directly, they will see that. But if you want a lengthier thing, I would say just go on to a blog or a forum or something like that, that a Halo forum or just anything that 343 looks into, maybe a YouTube channel or something, and list the reasons why you don't like this particular thing. You know, you can't really say a lot in a tweet. You only have 160 characters on there. So, you know, maybe blog or something. Like, it's they look everywhere. They have eyes everywhere. So it's you're
if okay you, if that you makes post, it sound a little creepy.
Okay, well, you get what I'm saying. Like, there's people out there that are looking to make their experience better for Halo. You know, it's they had, you know, they have people, you have bloggers, you just have a whole bunch of a list of people that do a whole bunch of stuff, and they see a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. They see most of it, as a matter of fact. Like, I was, my birthday was 2 days ago, for those who don't know, and Kevin Franklin sent me a message like, happy birthday, and that he listened to one of our last podcasts, and he really liked it. So they're out there listening to the community. They really are. I mean, if they're taking the time to listen to a podunk podcast like ours, then they're taking time to listen to the community, big or small.
Absolutely. I mean, that another example was that when we were talking at RTX, several individuals were talking with us, and like the next day, that information got transferred to someone else. I got tweeted back at from when people were in Seattle that were in RTX. Like, it's just the information gets passed along a lot. Especially like you said before, they love talking with their community. You know, communication's the biggest thing I feel that makes a franchise get better. You know, granted, not all community feedback is the greatest. You know, that's just a given, but they're listening.
Right. And I've actually talked with a few 343 people and some of the higher up ones too, and they would actually be interested about doing some appearances on the show. So hopefully at some point we'll be able to actually start looking at regular appearances on the podcast. That would be something that we're interested in pursuing, and hopefully it's something that will actually work out both for the studio and for us, because there's actually a lot of different aspects to the studio that don't really get highlighted much. So you see a lot of kind of the higher end development leads, but you never really get to hear from some of the people that actually get the hands-on experience with the game, that actually go in, do the fine adjustments on maps, do a lot of the artwork, and all the kind of intricate details that you don't really hear about. And that's something that I hope through this we actually can kind of glean some light on some of those other aspects of the Halo development process that we don't normally get to see. And that's something that we've talked about among the staff, and it's something that I've talked about with a few 343 people, and hopefully we'll be able to get that going hopefully next month would be pretty good, talking about some of the stuff after the Halo 5 Guardians beta is over. I know Josh said he would love to be back on the podcast. We had him on mid-November. You can go listen to that interview. We also talked to Quinn Del Hoyo when I got to get my hands on the beta before Halo Fest. So there's lots of things out there that point to 343 is listening. They really do care. And because of that, it's only, I don't mean to sound like high and mighty to them or make it sound like I'm kissing up to them, but they bust their butts off to make the game as much of a game that they know we want to play as possible. It may not look like it because of the state the game's in, but they really do put a heck ton of effort into making the game the way it needs to be. So,
I mean,
give them a little break, give them respect. Everyone deserves some amount of human decency and respect to that regard. You might not like the people working on it, fine. You might not like the outcome of the game and where it is, fine. But at least give them some decent human respect when it comes to giving them feedback, and don't like verbally assault somebody or just point blame to people. Don't launch into any kind of vendetta against anyone or any group of people. Just don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, people got to take in consideration too is that they're Halo fans themselves. You know, they came on the 343 team because of their past for Halo. You know, they're not going to sit there and go on there and see their franchise that they love so much fall. Like, that's not that a lot of people seem to think that's what the case is, but it's not. It really isn't.
Yep. So that was an interesting little happenstance in the Halo community this week that a lot of people blew up about. You can go find all that stuff on Twitter. But yeah, just can't stress it enough. Just be honest, have an open mind, give valuable feedback. Don't hold a grudge. Just if there's something you don't like, say you don't like it and tell why. There you go. That's the easiest way to do it. That is an easy two-step process for you to get heard right there. So moving on, we don't have much in terms of Halo news specifically to talk about other than what we've already talked about already. But there's some articles that have been coming out lately about Halo-related things. And one of the ones that I wanted to kind of touch on a little bit was a Forbes article that came out, was it earlier this week or last week? It was 2 weeks ago. My goodness. It was titled, "Do Not Pre-Order Halo 5 Guardians 9 Months Early." And there's actually lots of interesting points that get brought up here, because the way that pre-orders have gone from when they first started to where they are now, it's a lot more not really playing into the developers' and the consumers' best interest. In the Forbes article, they kind of go into how pre-order started was because of limited numbers of certain things being available. So if you want to guarantee a copy, you would pre-order it. Nowadays, a lot of companies are using that to kind of upsell exclusive features to a game, like a collector's edition or a limited edition, and that kind of stuff. And it's getting to a fact with Halo, since we now have had Halo 4 and the Master Chief Collection, that if you're not 100% confident in the product you're going to get, then don't pre-order it. Don't support a game that you don't know what the end result is. And if you look at the article, there's actually lots of kind of common sense stuff in here, talking just kind of going through why it's not in the best interest of the developer and the best interest of the consumer to actually pre-order. Now, for me, I want to make sure I have my $250 collector limited edition.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
So I'm going to be getting that. I pre-ordered that thing probably within the first 2 hours of the announcement. But yeah, it's just one of those things where if you're one of those people that are not very comfortable about where 343 is in terms of like making the quality of the games before the games come out, then don't pre-order. I mean, you can wait until the game is a week away and pre-order then, after you see some more of how the game's going to be. Just wait until after the game. You're not going to be missing too much if you wait a day or two after the game comes out. And it's Halo, so it's a game that will definitely have lots of copies made. I mean, it's a Microsoft game. It's Microsoft's game.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's going to be an absence of copies if you don't want to pre-order. And it basically sends a message to 343 that, hey, there's not that many people really trusting your skills as a company in creating a game. And it just gives them more incentive to prove the customer wrong.
Yeah.
Speaking with your wallet, it's one of the most effective ways to basically tell a studio what you think of the product. Because if it's something where you play it, you don't like it, you usually send it back. I know there's been lots of people that have been big Halo supporters in the past that have returned their Master Chief Collection games or have sold it because they just the end result of the product was not representative of what they thought they should be spending $60 for, which is perfectly fine. That's actually a very good way to voice your opinion. That's speaking with your wallet. I mean, businesses are in for making money. It's dollars and cents. So if they're not making the dollars and cents, that rings a bell in their head. It's like, oh crap, we're not doing something right.
Yeah.
And that's what this article is kind of getting at, really.
It's an interesting read, though.
Yeah, it definitely is. I encourage everyone to go read it. It's on Forbes. Forbes usually has some very good editorials on there when it comes to business pieces. So it'll be up in the show notes. I would highly encourage you guys to read it. It'll probably make you think twice about pre-ordering games in the future, whether it be Halo or whether it be any other game that you're buying on the console, PC, whatever. But it just gets you to think, and it gets you to think smart as a consumer and how it affects the gaming industry. So that was one article. I suggest you guys go read it. Another article that kind of came out this week was something on developonline.net, and it is an interview talking with Paul Lipson, who's the senior audio director at 343 Industries, about the process of making the music for the Halo 2 anniversary, coming up with all the new sound effects and all that stuff. I did not know this, but there is 198 minutes of all new music in Halo 2 anniversary.
Holy crap.
That is over 3 hours of new music.
Wow. That's just music. That doesn't include like sound effects or anything like that.
No, that is music. And there's over 16,000 new sound and Foley assets and over 58 minutes of new cinematics.
Holy crap. That's a lot.
That is a lot of audio.
Man, that just really put a perspective on things. Like, how much I mean, I know they did an incredible job with the cinematics. Like, I knew that because I've seen YouTube videos. I literally watched an hour of just the cinematics going through that, just watching it through. But I didn't know there was that much audio enhancement. Like, that's just crazy.
3 hours of music. Of music alone is in Halo 2 Anniversary. Just Halo 2 Anniversary. That's on top insane. Of all the Marty O'Donnell stuff in Halo 1, 2, and 3 and the music in Halo 4. That is a lot of music. When you think about it, you're looking at possibly a day's worth of music in the Master Chief Collection.
It's a lot.
Yeah,
the sad part is I actually probably listen to half that every day while working, which is the sad part.
Halo soundtracks, they're great.
Yeah, they are. They also take up a lot of space on my iPod.
Yes. Yes, it does. A little excerpt from here. Lipson partnered with Skywalker Sound and multiple Grammy winning engineer Leslie Ann Jones to record 85 members of the Skywalker Symphony Orchestra, 40 singers from the San Francisco Opera Chorus, and 28 singers from the boys' chorus.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. And Skywalker Symphony, Skywalker Sound is, again, just one of the best orchestras out there. And from the article, it seems like a lot of the members in the orchestra really enjoy video games and enjoy playing these different kinds of game pieces. That's really cool as well. That will be linked in the show notes as well. But just some pretty cool stuff. There's another article on Kotaku, and this is actually, I've seen the video that this referenced before, but Kotaku wrote an article last week, and it's titled "The Guns That Never Made It Into Halo." And it's a video that's really, really old, back in the early days of Bungie, probably shortly after Halo 1 came out, and they just go through some of the weapons that just they didn't even make. And it also kind of covers some of the other little funny tidbits and info about Halo that not many people know. And one of which, I think you probably know this one, Bio, is that the Elite sounds are actually Johnson lines just played backwards.
Yep.
At a varying speed. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one of the good. When I heard that for the first time, I'm like, no. Yeah, I can't be real. And then I listened to it. I was like, yeah, I can kind of see how that sounds. It's pretty cool that they can, you know, use stuff that they already have and make a different sound with it. Like that just blows my mind of how many, like, and there's a couple instances of that too. Like, it's not just them that are that one particular thing, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the video that's linked in here, they actually do a little bit of history on how the game was actually meant to play more like a third-person shoot, or just kind of the different stages that it went through in development, where it started as a third-person shooter, and then it was like exclusively on Mac, and then when Halo got bought out by Microsoft, it went over to the Xbox, became a first-person shooter, and all that stuff. So there's some history behind it, which is pretty cool. And the video is actually very informative. I don't remember when I first saw this one, but it's been out there for a while. And but things like Forge was something that was in one of the previous games that got put into Halo, and how the Forge symbol is an anvil, which is another map editor from one of their other games, and that kind of stuff. So overall, some pretty cool things. I'm actually looking through the video, and there was one weapon in particular that was just really weird when I saw it. Like, I didn't even think it would be like a weapon that you would think about even being in a Halo game nowadays. Oh gosh, where is it?
There's a lot of stuff that they take out of games that wouldn't really surprise me that would be in a Halo game, but there, I forgot what weapon. I think it was in Halo 4. That giant, I don't even know what to call it. Like, it was like a giant, almost looked like an assault rifle rocket launcher type thing. Like, it was, they had a model for it and everything. Like, they had a 3D model of it. Like, it was in pre-stage.
This was it. There was a harpoon gun in Halo.
There was a harpoon gun in Halo.
In early developments of Halo, there was a harpoon gun.
Interesting. I wonder what kind of, like, if they threw that in there, I wonder what kind of, like, what that would be used for today. You know what I mean? Like, that's weird.
I just don't... How Halo has evolved today, I don't see how that would be a weapon in Halo.
No, I don't either.
I guess I'm kind of glad it didn't make it out in the cut, but it's still just kind of one of those funny things to think about. If there was a harpoon gun in Halo, how would it work? Kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, though, because there's, I know a lot of friends, like, that I know in real life that didn't know the flamethrower was in the PC version of Halo 1. And they were console gamers. And then when they were playing the Master Chief Collection, they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I was like, what? They're like, no. They 343 screwed up. The rocket launcher was never in Halo 1. I'm like, yes, it was. If you go back and play the PC version, it was in there. Sure enough, they went, bought the PC version. They were in there. They're like, I can't believe that was there. Like, I can't believe we missed out on something that fun on a different version of the game. Like,
and another weapon that was exclusive to the PC was the fuel rod cannon.
Wait, on Halo 1?
Halo 1, yeah.
Huh.
On the PC version of Halo 1 had a fuel rod cannon.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Huh.
And for those who don't know, there was also another weapon called the gravity wrench, which is basically like the gravity gun from Half-Life.
Now, that would be interesting to play. That's an interesting weapon in Halo.
Well, it actually is pretty interesting because it reminded me of the guys working on the CMT SPV-3 because they have those gravity grenades. I don't know if you were watching the stream bio whenever we were doing our Extra Life thing, but one of the new weapons that they have in CMT SPV-3 that they've implemented is a gravity grenade, and it affects everything in the environment. It affects NPCs. You can get sucked to it. Weapons, crates, anything that moves or is affected by gravity basically gets sucked into this thing.
Yeah, no, so, I was on the podcast when you guys were talking about that. I remember that.
Well, I don't know if you watched the stream and actually saw it in action.
Oh, no, I didn't actually see it in action. I remember talking about it, though.
But yeah, so, I mean, watching this video again and seeing that is like putting two and two together. It's like, oh, that kind of functionality is in there. And they just, and for the CMT, they figured out how to kind of use that and actually make something very useful out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I got to give them a lot of props. Like, they've done, like, with a game that's aging and that's that old and they're still throwing this type of stuff in there. Like, that's just mind-blowing. Like, who was it? I watched a lot of Wang Time's videos with the Halo custom version or whatever. Custom edition. And there's a lot of stuff in there that I honestly would never have thought to think would be in a game like that. Like, that was just crazy to me. And we also have what's the big Halo community game? Search for C. Something.
Huh?
Can't remember. There was a Halo game that there's a Halo community Halo game. Contingency. There we go. Like, I'm waiting for that. The Halo Contingency or something like that. I can't remember.
You sure it's not a Machinima?
No. It's not out yet.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the Source Engine remake of Halo 1, right? Or it's some game engine, and they're trying to implement Halo 1 in it, right?
It's something. It's like, I watched the trailer for it. Like, I'll link you to it one, or I'll link everybody to it. It's a trailer that basically is a community made Halo game. And it's the Contingency Project, I think it's called, or something like that. If someone in the stream knows, like, help me out here, because I remember seeing it. Like, I haven't heard anything about it in a long time. I don't even know if it's still in production, but there was some stuff, like, there just the way they made stuff. It just looks incredible. Like, I'm just,
Project Contingency, you're right. And Laird is saying it's the CryEngine.
Yeah. It's a whatever it is. It looks awesome. Like, there's a video. Like, this was going on like 2 years ago. I watched this and it just blew me away on how good it looked. They have, like I said, they have a website up and everything too. I think when a beta comes out, you can sign up for it.
Yeah, and this is all done by community members. It's not. I don't even think they have. They really can't even get sponsorship for it. So this, this is. Yeah, I totally forgot hearing about this, but yeah, this is actually pretty cool, and it's like 32 player, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's gonna be a massive.
I wonder when they would come out with something like that though, because that kind of thing takes time, especially when you're not being paid to do it.
Yeah, and the thing is, everything's upgrading too, so I just want it to come out.
Yeah, that's. Simply, I forget how amazing this actually is and just the potential behind it. Cool stuff. But that's kind of all the stuff that we had to talk about tonight. There's not really much else going on that we wanted to touch on. We're going to see what happens with the content update for Halo. Hopefully that brings in some big changes, especially with the beta coming to a close. A lot more people are going to be hopping back on the Master Chief Collection. So to have that kind of getting a good stable ground for those coming back would actually be pretty good. Again, if you are looking to play some final matches in Halo 5, then I recommend you do so as soon as possible, because as of this recording, there's only 4 more or so full days left before the beta shuts down. If you haven't tried any of the new Forge maps, which actually both of them are in here, and I guess that's something we can talk on real quick, but make sure you at least go into the Slayer playlist, check out Pegasus and Orion. Those are the 2 Forge maps, and that Forge map is huge, or it looks very huge, just from the massive. So how many games do you play? Because I played both of them for the first time tonight just before the podcast. I played each one once. So what are your thoughts on it, other than the bright lens flares, which Vic has already said on Twitter that they're going to fix?
Yeah. I've played both of them. I was honestly surprised that, like, my first vote was going towards Orion. I played Pegasus a lot. It's an interesting map for the sake of it has sight lines for a sniper that is, like, you pick up sniper rifle kills left and right. Like, I mean, granted, if you're a good sniper, you get kills regardless. But I like Pegasus. I like Orion, but it's weird. Like, it's too, I don't know how to describe it. It's too, like, flat or something. Something about it just is off-putting. Like, when I was going through it and I was comparing to both, I was actually surprised I like Pegasus a lot more than I thought I would have. One of the more interesting things is how clean they look for Forge maps. Like, they look really, like, they're really well put together. And another thing that really is interesting is that you have a time of day thing, like a change of time and day. You can, I guess they announced that's going to be in Forge, which is interesting. You could see that in Pegasus, I think they said it's like at 12 or 1 o'clock. And then on Orion, it's like going like on dusk or morning, if I remember correctly. It's one of the two. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. And that opened up a lot of eyes for a lot of Forgers. Because maybe if that will be the case of having night maps, which a lot of people are wanting, including me, that'd be really interesting. We had a lot of interesting ways of putting, you know, a nightfall map up. Like, we had the purple light effect thing that kind of made everything really dark and all that.
Tricks, I mean, machine modes used, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they did a really good job doing that, but just to have a nightfall thing, and like, honestly, looking up and seeing like stars or a moon or the Halo ring lighting up or something like that, that'd be sick. That'd be really awesome to see in a Forge map. And like, people, I was spectating on one of my friends and I was looking around. You can see that there's a lot of texture stuff that isn't quite there yet, but the Forge map itself is massive. Like, it is huge.
It definitely is. And that's just from the few shots that we get during the opening sequence. That's not just looking at the whole map or being able to kind of, well, ooh, I need to try that. What if you go into spectator mode and fly around?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Like, I was looking at, like I was saying, there's texture stuff.
I hadn't done that yet, so.
Yeah. There's a lot of there's a lot of people I know that were very interested. Like, that was one of the first things they said when the Forge map, like, that's the reason why they wanted spectator mode so bad when they heard that the Forge maps were coming out. And that's a lot of people are using it now. It's just to look outside the map to see, or look outside to see, you know, how big, or, you know, what this looks like, what's not fully developed yet and all that stuff. So there's a lot of cool stuff.
Well, I know what I'm doing after the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's like, I love the fact that we're having a cinematic, though, for a Forge map. Like, it makes me wonder if we could make our own cinematic like that, like with our own Forge thing in the background, and have that red versus blue, you know, intro cinematic that we always have. It just makes me wonder if we could do that.
I'm guessing there's certain, like, camera elements, similarly how we've had the loadout elements in Halo Reach and Halo 4, that I'm guessing there's probably some of those, like, forgeable items where it's like, okay, at the beginning, this is going to be camera 1, it pans from here to here, this is going to be camera 2, showing this power weapon, and then this is going to be camera 3, and then this is where the team is going to stand for the camera 3 position, all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't that would be kind of my reasoning on how they would implement that kind of system. It makes sense. I mean, if they can do it for a Forge map for the beta, then there's obviously those tools going to be available to us to use in the final product.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I think that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. So, for everyone in the stream, thank you for coming out and listening to us. We appreciate it. We do this on Twitch every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern for those listening to us after the fact or downloading us through iTunes, Zoom, Xbox Music, however you listen to us. And we also do our game nights, which we had our last Tactical Tuesday this week for Halo 5 Guardians. So we'll be switching that back to the Master Chief Collection starting next week. And we'll be continuing our Wacky Wednesdays as well. And both of those are on their respective nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. And we would love to see you guys out here. We'd love to play some games with you guys. And if you are looking for some other people to play outside those playtimes, then you can definitely drop by the forums and drop a message in the Looking for Players forums and possibly get connected with some other people. Some more time with people in the Master Chief Collection now, since the beta will be coming to a close pretty soon. So we'll be back in the saddle with the Master Chief Collection. I think we'll be there a little bit more often. At least I think Bio, Haas, and Godzilla will all be slaving away at the Halo Mole, which needs to be done. Beside that, again, make sure you check out the forums, and we have a forum thread over there for feedback on Halo 5. And we're going to take all the feedback that you guys have given, and we're going to kind of wrap it up into what we're going to send 343 after the beta's all said and done. So if you have something to say, make sure it's constructive, make sure it has some reason behind it, and then feel free to post it in the forums, and we will include it in our feedback back to 343, and hopefully we'll get to have them on the podcast and talk about some of the feedback that they've received and stuff that they're changing from the feedback that they've received so far. That'd actually be pretty cool to get done. Also, please make sure you check out the Podcast Network. That is our sister network that we are a part of and includes podcasts like Guardian Radio, which is the Destiny podcast, Critzcast, which is the TF2 podcast, and Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. So please check out that, and you can go to podka.st and find out more about all the podcasts over there. If you guys have something to share with us with Halo related, you can send an email to our submissions box, and that is submissions@podtackler.com, or you can call our listener voicemail at 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. And we are still looking for customs for the game nets as well. I'll add that in there. If you have a custom that you've remade in the Master Chief Collection, something that you've been a big fan of back in the early days of Halo 3 or Halo 4 when you were able to forge on those, and you've recreated in the Master Chief Collection, then please let Godzilla know. We are looking for custom games to play on our Wacky Wednesdays, and we know there's been some good classic ones for Halo 3 that we would love to play. And if you have been making stuff in Halo 2 Anniversary, we'd love to get a look at some of that too. And I believe Godzilla has downloaded some of those already, and they've been playing them in the past few Wacky Wednesdays, which has been a pretty decent turnout from what I've heard from the talk around the water coolers. So again, if you want to check that out, that is on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's it for us tonight. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. This has been episode 458, second week into the new year. Good podcast, good time. Bio, thanks again for joining us on the ride. Thank you to everyone in the live stream for joining us, and we will see you guys next week. Keep on fragging Halo 5. At least for a couple more days. Let it all out.